So in some sense, you know, love draws you, true love draws you beyond yourself. And that's what I'm trying to basically activate in a dad's heart. Don't shrink back based on insecurities or lack. Out of love for your son, just resolve to do what is necessary.
You are listening to the Famous at Home podcast with Dr. Josh and Christy Straub.
Because when it's all said and done, we all want to know that we were famous at home.
Welcome back to the Famous at Home podcast. This week we are talking with John Tyson. And Josh, this is 2 weeks in a row now that you have got to talk with husbands and fathers and really talking about all things like being famous at home. And there's such a pull on men who are balancing, you know, work and the stage that they're on and home life. And this is such a powerful interview.
Yeah, what's really fascinating about this is John is a pastor of Church of the City, New York, and he's been a pastor for many years. He's from Australia. You'll hear
Australia.
You'll hear his accent. Just a good mate. And
we really do love our Australians, don't we?
We do.
We've become like surrounded by them. I love them.
It's really great. And we had a great conversation about raising sons, and he has a curriculum called The Primal Path that he put together when his son was 13, and he tells the story about why he did that, because today we don't really have a framework for how to help our young boys, our boys, turn into men and get and really be entered into male society.
It's
fascinating. So he did it with his son for 6 years. His son just finished it, and hearing that journey and his heart behind it, fascinating interview, and we know you're gonna love it. So listen in here with my interview with John Tyson. John, thank you so much for joining us on the Famous at Home podcast.
Babe, thanks for having me on. It is a genuine honor to be with you.
So I want to start. I was introduced to you a few months ago as it related to the Primal Path. And before we get into that and we start talking about it, I'd love for you to introduce our audience to who you are and a little bit about your family.
Okay, yeah. So I am originally from Australia. I've been in the U.S. for 22 years and in New York for about 15. I am a pastor. I've been a church planter and, just love God, man, trying to seek God's kingdom, just praying and believing for spiritual awakening in New York. So we've just been there plowing faithfully. I've been married for 21 years. So I met an American in the first 2 weeks when I moved here and fell in love with her, married her. So very happily married, an amazing woman. I've got two kids. I have a son named Nathan, who's 19. I have a daughter who's 17 named Haley. So, you know, we're about to be empty nesters, mate. Kind of crazy.
Oh, man.
So, you know, what am I going to do with all that time? what a great problem to have.
It's a great problem to have if you have a great marriage.
Yes, I agree. I agree. We put some extra work in thinking through that.
That's what we preach, man. Get the work in now so that you can be excited when the kids are out and love on each other. Man, so you met her within 2 weeks of being here. Like, that's fascinating.
Yes, I met her doing the campus orientation tour of the Bible College. And I just remember thinking, gosh, America's going to be a little harder than I thought.
That's a great thought to have. That's so wild. Yeah. So, so you're a pastor, you love God, you've been pastoring for 15 years, Church of the City, New York.
So I planted a church called Trinity Grace Church and 2.5 years ago started Church of the City, New York.
So. Oh man. So wonderful. And one of the questions that one of the reasons you came up in my world was because you have this curriculum called Primal Path. Tell us a little bit about this and your heart behind it.
Yeah, so we got married really young and we had kids right away, and I had this powerful moment driving back from the doctor, and I just found out it was that that doctor's appointment where they said, do you want to know the gender of your kid? And I was like, yeah. And they said, well, you're going to have a son. And I just had this overwhelming sense, I do not know how to be a father properly. I just don't know how to be a father. And so, I mean, my dad was a great guy who did the best he could. He just did not have the tools he needed. You know, he basically grew up in boarding school in India. And, you know, my grandfather, very absent. And so he was, you know, 100 times better than his dad, but still just didn't have the tools. And so I remember being completely overwhelmed. And I was also a youth pastor in Franklin, and I was assigned to basically do campus clubs. And so I was the evangelism pastor working on high school campuses. And I kept bumping into these kinds of students who were disproportionately confident, had deep, deep religious convictions, you know, very, very kind, but just, you know, really, really admirable young men. And I realized they were all Mormons. And so it made me ask the question, wow, what are Mormons doing to form young men? And so I reached out to the local Mormon stake leader and ended up getting together with him. And he basically just said, you know, here's our process, not his language, but he said, in essence, here's our process of discipleship and raising up young men. And they had, you know, they had rites and rituals. They passed on a priesthood. You know, they obviously do their 2-year journey in high school. Every day for an hour before school, they do a thing called seminary, where they study 1 year the Old Testament, another year the New Testament, the next year Doctrine and Covenants, and then their senior year they study the Book of Mormon. And so they had this whole formational pathway to take young boys and turn them into responsible men. And I just was like, we have nothing like this. You know, the Catholics and Lutherans might have confirmation. The Jewish tradition, they have the bar mitzvah. You know, evangelicals, we don't have really anything. And so it just started me on this quest, basically to do a bunch of research, primarily for my own son. How do you raise up men from basically adolescence into manhood? And so I spent a lot of time, almost a decade, just reading everything I can get my hands onto. And then I designed a framework from when a young man turns 13 all the way into adulthood to take him through a series of basically skill development, character development, and core content development to walk him from adolescence into manhood. So spent a lot of time working on it and took my son through it. He was the guinea pig 6 years. And we just finished before he went off to college, walking 500 miles across Spain, doing the Camino de Santiago to close it out after he did a mission year, sort of like the Mormons do, and, you know, a blessing ceremony, welcoming him into manhood and all the rest of it. So it was basically born out of personal need, but I realized this is a crisis in the Christian church, and it's a generational problem that seems very few people seem to really be working on. So that was sort of the origins of it.
Man, so good. And especially for me, I mean, I got my boy, and, you know, I think about this all the time. Like, what can I be doing to prepare him for that? And you're right. Like, I mean, I have a PhD in counseling. I went to seminary. Like, you have all this education, but nothing prepares you for how to raise your son to be a man, a healthy man. So what were some of the lessons? Well, first of all, let me ask this question. How's your son now? Like, the culmination of this 6 years, what's his experience been like? Like, how has he described it? And from his perspective, how would you put it into words? And then I'd love to hear from your perspective, you put it into words.
Yeah, I mean, I wish my son could be on every one of these podcasts and tell you the story himself, because, I mean, you know, so one of he's loved it. In essence, he's so grateful. He says, I can definitely see, you know, the intentionality that you put into my life, and I see the advantage it's given me in terms of preparation for manhood. And so, you know, I say this with genuine love and affection and pride for who he's become. But people who meet my son say, you know, Nathan is like a wonderful, godly young man. And, you know, he's outgoing. He loves God. He's got a heart for God. I mean, he's studying theology right now in Bible college. And he's really grateful for the time. For me, it's basically been one of, you know, maybe the only thing I've gotten right in my life, it feels like. I just resolved in my spirit, I'm going to invest in my son. I'm going to blink and he's going to be out of the house. and I'm just going to do whatever it takes. And so, you know, the tagline, well, my vision is this. It's like, I want to help overwhelmed but determined fathers raise sons of consequence. And so I meet a lot of dads who just like, I didn't have a clue. You know, my dad was either absent or he didn't have the tools, but I am determined that I am going to give my son everything I've got. So, I mean, I put honestly almost 45 minutes a day into this with him for 6 years. So we spent a lot of time together. It felt in some sense, you know, like when he basically graduated from it and went off to the gap year, I felt like I got hours of my day back again. And so it was like one of the richest experiences of my life. And I think people would say I have a very, like, very special adult friendship with my son. I mean, he still talks to me about all of the major issues in his life. And there's no way to articulate the joy of getting something wrong. And there's no way to underestimate the pain of regret of getting it right. There's no way to underestimate, you know, the pain of regret of getting it wrong. And so I just said in my heart, I want to make sure I get this right. And so now the challenge is doing it with my daughter, which is a whole other conversation, but it's one of the most rewarding, richest experiences of my life. It's produced a beautiful relationship with my son.
Man. So overwhelmed, but determined dads. And
that's it.
Yeah. And it's a pathway for them to do that. And so you've put this course together. You just piqued my interest. Are you working on a course for your daughter too?
I actually am. Yes. That's called 50 Pieces of My Heart. And it's 50 key deposits every father needs to make in his daughter's life. So I'm about to kick off the initiation year with my daughter. We're going to the Faroe Islands, which is one of the places she's always wanted to go to sort of launch that. And so I'm working on that. That's actually going to be different. The Primal Path as a course basically is 14 modules that take dads through a series of exercises to design something specifically for who their son is. So it basically goes through four phases. First one is preparation, dealing with your own issues as a man and your relationship with your father. Initiation, consciously creating that liminal space where you bring your son into an intentional process. Then formation, where you take him through, you know, the core content and experiences to shape him. And then recognition, honoring the journey he's been on and welcoming to the community of men. So it's got four movements and a series of exercises for you to design that for your son. The stuff I'm doing with my daughter is literally five daily devotionals that I've, you know, written for her to go through. And then one weekly sort of date night thing that is like dad school, where you unpack the key idea in really real detail. And so that is way more like a traditional sort of devotional curriculum, whereas the Primal Path is designed primarily to equip the father to be able to do this for himself.
And we're definitely going to put the Primal Path in the show notes for you overwhelmed, determined dads like myself who want to get it right with your son. Because as you said, the pain of regret, what'd you say? You can't overestimate the pain of the regret when you don't get it right.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you talk to many, many fathers about the great regret of their life, and they're going to tell you it is, I did not invest into my son, and he's gone. It just happened so fast. And a lot of people are great. They're very, very good when the kids are younger. And, you know, so all that resolve kicks in. They're putting their son to bed. But it's the challenge often becomes you're experiencing career success and you're really beginning to make progress. You're really beginning to feel financial responsibility at the exact time your son needs you more than ever. And so these things often feel like they're in tension with one another. But, you know, as you would say, they're sort of like the stage and the platform begin to emerge at the same moment that you need to be a hero at home. And so I've worked really hard to address that tension and try and design something to help fathers link those two things up.
Man, so helpful. And a tool that is very, very powerful in doing that. Is the devotional for your daughter, is that available?
I'm actually going through it with her right now. So it will be in about a year from now. So
nice.
I got to live it out. Got to live it out first.
You know? Love it. We're going to make sure we, once that's out, we introduce you guys to that. But the Primal Path, we'll put that in the show notes. John, I want to ask you the question. What did you see? This was obviously birthed out of your own desire to make sure you didn't regret. And I love that you said it is the one area that you feel like you've gotten right.
Not perfect, but right.
But
yes.
Right, yeah. And I would probably disagree with that, because I think you've gotten a lot of things right in your life, especially as you're excited to enter those empty nest years with your bride. But what did you see beyond the personal? What did you see, especially in America? You're coming from Australia. You're coming into America. Where was the void in boys? What did you see? What were you seeing that boys needed? And what do you see that they need today?
Well, you know, they basically needed those rights. They basically needed to be guided by a community of men on a recognized path that matched the ache of their heart, the longings of their heart, into adulthood. And that path just doesn't exist. So, you know, so what's the typical path of formation? It's like, get on a sports team. Okay, good. You know, look at porn. That's how you figure out sex. Maybe there's like a few things, like maybe you have one chat with your dad one night if you get drunk early and you're in trouble and he tries to sit down and be empathetic. But there's no conscious, consistent, intentional pathway. That's the thing that just seems to be missing. Wow. And so, yeah, there's sporadic moments of formation. But what I think young men ache for is an older man to walk them through a proven process, so they have an empathetic but skillful mentoring guide to show them the way. And that, as far as I can tell, does not exist in Christianity in America. And the crisis, I'm a pastor now, the crisis now is that we have, you know, half-formed men. We have men who have done the best they can, but they deal with tremendous areas of underdevelopment and shame or overcompensation and pride. And they really just didn't get what they needed in those key years. So that was the biggest hole I saw, the total disappearance of a mentor or a father walking someone through a process.
Man, and what about for the dad? So as I hear you saying this longing, these incomplete men, and you know, for so many of us, I've done a ton of therapy through the years and have dealt with so many father wounds in my own life. Had an amazing dad. I mean, his presence, his physical presence, but he was also human. And there's holes there. And, you know, I wanted to be even, you know, he gave me a model for what it is to be a great father. But as you said, he didn't have a pathway. He didn't have a, you know, I'm growing up in the American way, and there wasn't something to take me through. As a dad, for the dads listening, you know, you mentioned, you said it so beautifully, that balance between blaming others and feeling ashamed. I'm ashamed that I'm not doing a great job, or blaming others for my circumstances and having pride. You know, that balance between work and home and dealing with all that. We as men tend to, you know, walk this tightrope of blame and shame. How do you tell the dad who he himself feels incomplete, feeling ashamed? Like, nobody's given me a framework for this. I do feel the pressure of being at work. I feel the pressure of my boss to make sure I provide for my family. What is his first step?
Well, the first thing is to have a resolution of spirit that they're just going to put their heart into it. If this is about heart, you've got to love your son. So in some sense, you know, love draws you, true love draws you beyond yourself. And that's what I'm trying to basically activate in a dad's heart. Don't shrink back based on insecurities or lack. Out of love for your son, just resolve to do what is necessary. The good news is that your 13-year-old son, 14-year-old son doesn't know what you don't know. You're not dealing with a peer. Yeah, you're not dealing with a peer who's going to evaluate your parenting. Now, he's going to look back and reflect on it. But if you do this right, all he's going to see is a whole series of movements of intentionality and effort. So you're dealing with a teenager. He doesn't know anything. And so when you make these, when you just confidently say, here's what we're going to do, here's the path we're going to walk, here's what the rhythm's going to look like with our time together, he's basically going to go, fantastic. He doesn't know any different. And so, again, you are not being monitored by a boss or evaluated in a 360 degree by a peer at work. This is your son that you love who will step in and just be grateful that you're showing intentionality towards him. And one of the great compliments my son said to him, because I did a whole evaluation like, hey, man, before I put the primal path out into the world, did it honestly help you? You know, I don't want to put like a faulty thing out there.
Yeah.
And you know, like, and how would you evaluate my parenting through this process? And, you know, in an absolute, you know, when he said this, it made me weep when he said it to me. He said, "You're the most intentional father I've ever met." You know, he said, and it's not that you got everything right. It's not that you sometimes didn't say a dumb thing at the right time. It's not you didn't help hurt my feelings. He said, "I just saw that you were completely committed to being intentional in my life." And he said, "I'm so grateful for that. And I'm going to take my son through this if I have a son." So that's it. All you want, you can't control so many of the outcomes, but all you can do is leave a legacy of proactivity and care. And I believe if that's it, it's moving towards your son in these key moments. That's the thing he's going to remember. Nobody's going to get it right, but you can show initiative. And I think that's the great legacy piece.
A legacy of proactivity and care. That's a phrase that I don't know that I've ever chewed on. I've certainly never heard it in that way, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Christy, when we first got married, we realized that there were so many decisions we had to make for our family, especially when our children came along. And we had to make decisions based upon what we thought other people expected of us, what society expected of us, what the culture around us was imposing on us, that we found ourselves running ragged, frantic, too busy, and realizing we were doing things that we didn't even like or that our kids didn't like.
And that's why this January we are launching our first online course to help you find your family's purpose, called Your Family Purpose, a step-by-step guide to establishing your family vision and values.
That's right. It is the year 2020. Get it? 2020 vision. We want to help you establish that 2020 vision for your family so that you're not running ragged, that you're not running frantic. And in this course, it is an online course that you will go through at your own pace, and we'll be there to help hold you accountable along that journey with different quizzes and different activities within the course. You'll have videos from yours truly, and you will also be able to navigate by the end of this journey. You'll be able to know your family's values, your vision, and you'll be able to start making major decisions as well as minor decisions based upon those values, leading intentionally and confidently for your family. Check the show notes and famousathome.com because pre-orders are on right now.
We want 2020 to be the year that you establish your family's vision, values, and your purpose. We cannot wait to do this with you in 2020.
What about from a, I'm just thinking of a dad who, you know, I may not have had a strong spiritual legacy. I don't know my Bible very well. I want to lead my son into a young man. Are there things through the primal path? Talk about that. Give us some encouragement as dads where we feel maybe a little inadequate as it relates to our own Bible knowledge, that type of thing, in raising a godly son.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is that you're not taking your kid through seminary. We're not talking about, you know, helping him pass Greek verbs here. You know, we're like helping him understand sort of the basics of the faith. You know, when I would do my morning sessions with Nate, we would often, we would just read one or two verses and we just ask these three questions. What does this verse teach you about God? What does this verse teach you about yourself? And what does this verse teach you about how life works? And it was those three simple questions. And, you know, if you do this right, this is not a content dump. So the goal is not like, let me tell you everything I've ever learned, because that's just lecturing. He can get that information on podcasts through way better teachers than most dads will ever be. But you're trying to help him understand and grow and experience. So most of the work goes back to skillfully asking questions and drawing out his heart. Now, I don't want to overstate how complicated that can be. Getting a 13-year-old to talk is its own challenge. But that's a different category than I don't have the content I need to be good at this. Just be really simple. I think at first we used the one-minute Bible, which was written by somebody else. And they literally had a verse and a little devotional. And then I let someone else do the heavy lifting. And I just said to him at the end of it, like, what'd you learn about God? What'd you learn about yourself? What'd you learn about life? And so to me, the key, you know, most of the things that we think are going to make the difference don't make the difference. And it's these daily small moments of connection and keeping the relational bond. That's where I think most dads get it wrong. So they don't maintain a relational bond with their son. And when trouble comes, they have to basically insert themselves and rely on authority and discipline. And that often further hurts the bond. But if that bond is maintained through daily connection, spending that time together, you will create an environment where discipline doesn't look like punishment. And you'll be able to really speak into those hard places. So just work on building the daily bond. And to me, that's the key. In 6 years of that, you know, my goal, I had one basic goal when it came to faith with my son. I wanted to introduce him to his heavenly father who wouldn't fail him like I was, but I wanted him to bring me his sin. I said, I want to have a relationship so strong with my son that he brings me his sin, not hides it from me. Because if he gets that vulnerability in male relationships, he will break those cycles of hiding, shame, and addiction for the rest of his life. And, you know, and we have that relationship with now, and it's been just so life-giving. He'll say, Dad, I'm struggling with this. All of my friends don't seem to care about this. I know you've wrestled with this stuff. Speak into this situation. How do you deal with it? And I worked so hard. I sowed so much time for that one moment in my life. And I just remember just having this awareness. What a gift. Here he is thinking, my dad wants to help me, not judge me. So daily little moments produce this strong relational bond over time that I think that's really the goal. Don't be overwhelmed. Focus on what you can do, not what you can't do. So people sometimes come to me and they say, well, the primal path looks pretty intense. And I always tell them, is your son worth it? I mean, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to wing raising a godly young man in today's culture. So if you're looking for like, you know, a 20-minute pep talk a week and you think you're going to produce an extraordinary young man, that's not how extraordinary young men are produced in today's world. You know that when it comes to sports, you know that when it comes to education, why do you think it's any different when it comes to your relationship? So there's a little bit of challenge in that. But I tell people all the time, it's don't worry about sort of like that big picture challenge. Don't worry. Just put your head down, be proactive, do this, and it will work out over time. So if you say, well, I can't do all the elements of it, well, don't do all the elements of it then if you can't. If you can do 60% of it, do 60% of it. Do what you can. Don't complain about what you can't do. And to me, that makes all the difference. So there's, you know, hundreds of dads doing their own variations in terms of like scheduling and programming and time and content based on who their son is. But doing something with intentionality is so much better than doing nothing. And I found most dads, by being proactive, they feel so much better. So much of that overwhelm and guilt disappears by saying, I'm doing what I can. And that produces basically a new cycle of confidence and momentum that sort of carries them through some of those challenging moments.
That's being famous at home so you can show up on your stage. That you can thrive when you stay. Yeah. Like, that's exactly it. And you answered one of my objections, I think, for the most part, but just clarify too, just even thinking of dads, I know a lot of dads who are, you know, they're out the door before their kids are even awake. And by the time they get home from work, from a commute, you know, they might have an hour, 2 hours with their kids at night before it's bedtime. And they have multiple children. And it's like, man, I don't even have a window of time to pull this off. And you really answered that objection of, I feel like, and Moses describes this in Deuteronomy 6, right? Where he talks about, you know, impressing on our kids the love of God, the commands of God during those really mundane parts of the day when your kids wake, when you're tucking them in bed, during dinner time, you know, drive time, things like that.
You can hack this stuff with technology, and all you need to do is basically elevate the challenge and reward system with your son to either make him get up or stay up and make it fun. So, you know, I travel quite a lot. And but I would just, you know, that's what FaceTime does, man. Skype, FaceTime, all of that stuff.
Love
and
it.
if you don't make it so intense, but it is like a daily connection. And again, you basically gamify in a good way. And he won't want to miss it. You know, he'll develop a sense of pride And, you know, so one of the ways we did this, and I mean, like, you know, I go into this in great depth in the course, but you basically have to remove women from the male formation process. When women watch men try and grow and develop, they unintentionally have a tendency to mock them. And so, you know, we basically created an element of secrecy in our house about what the primal path was. And that secrecy produced pride in my son. Like, I don't want to miss doing the primal path with dad. And, you know, or my wife would come in and say, hey, you know, dad's on the road. Are you doing a FaceTime this morning? And he'd say, oh, yeah, absolutely. Because he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to let me down in the presence of his mother or whatever. So there's all of these ways that you can utilize time and motivate to fill those gaps. You can utilize commutes, you can utilize travel, you can utilize technology. And remember, the goal is just keeping that bond alive. So there's 100 ways you can hack this stuff. And I always tell dads, you know, a lot of dads have tremendous strategic thinking when it comes to their business, to their work or whatever. I'm like, use your gifts with your son. Take all of that skill and that energy and that strategic thinking and that innovation and that hustle, just apply it to your relationship with your son, and you'd be amazed at how those sorts of things disappear.
Man, this is so good. When you were prior to the age of 13, give dads who have young boys like myself, I have a 7-year-old son, what can we be doing right now to even get them spiritually, as really as a pastor, as an overseer, as a shepherd, what would be your wisdom to us to get our boys prepped even now to get them to 13?
Yeah, I would say it's basically two things. It's the environment that you create in the home and the habits and practices you establish as a part of your family culture. And so, you know, culture in essence is the way we do things around here, or sometimes it's described as our collective heart. And so I would put the effort into saying, here's the environmental design is way better than willpower when it comes to raising kids. And so, you know, the choice architecture of what you allow and how you do things, how you use time, rhythms, those sort of things, super important. Be intentional with the design
of
that.
So good, yeah.
And then put simple key practices in. So, you know, our family has practiced the Sabbath, you know, basically my kids' entire lives. I saw all these people burning out, and I said, we're going to practice the Sabbath one day a week. And so we just brought our kids into that, you know, pleasure stacking and special foods, getting outside and being in nature, so we got perspective on God. Just create little life-giving practices and bring kids into it. And then, so that will be the two things, environmental design of your home and cultural design, and then just little practices that say, this is how we do it. I spend a lot of time helping my son say, look, man, you're a Tyson. This is what Tysons do. You know, this is what Tysons do, man. And they totally embrace this. And so my kids will today, there's a whole bunch of sort of, you know, Tyson family cultural things. And they will often say when our family's together, and it's a little different now because my son's off at college, but they'll say things like, I love this family. I love our family culture. Or they'll say, that is such a Tyson thing to do. So trying to work on building that so you have the foundations for, you know, when it gets a little more intense with the primal path or whatever.
Man, so good. We talk a lot about environment, famous at home, and the environment that we're cultivating for our kids.
Yeah.
And so you just coming into agreement with that and affirming that, I think for a lot of us is really, really encouraging to our hearts.
No, it's so important. And I think one of the things you have to do is you have to ask, who has God made us to be? Because if all of your values and environments are aspirational, they will not stay consistent. You can only maintain who you really are. And so I think there's an element of that, because if you do environmental design or habits and all of that based on comparison, or we want to be like them, and it's not true to who you are, you got to find who God's made your family to be, and you can sustain that without all of the exhaustion of and effort going along with trying to be someone you're not. So we were like really clear. My wife and I were like, here's our gifts, strengths, weaknesses. Here's what we're good at, love, preferences. Let's be really honest on this and let's build on that. And it was very easy to maintain that rather than making it feel like it was something we had to perform or do.
Wow. It's super powerful. We just recently built a course called Your Family Purpose. And the entire...
I saw that, man. That looks so strong.
The whole beginning of that is all about the environment you're creating in your home. from the very beginning. So it's just, it's encouraging to me to hear someone like you as a shepherd of people, as a dad of a 19-year-old who has done this right, to hear you affirming in us what we're doing. Just really cool. And I think the Holy Spirit,
you're on it, man.
Holy Spirit is really good in that. And again, we're not perfect. Like we're messing up every day, but that intentionality, that proactivity and care. And for those of you dads listening, John, I want to thank you for being with us. Before we close, I want to ask you, Primal Path is the website. We're going to put it up on the show notes, but you have two different versions. You have an audio and a video. For those who go on there and wonder, is there more that you get out of the video?
No, I mean, there's a little bit more. The content is just slightly different. It's basically about how people like to consume and learn. And so, you know, so for some dads, I'm like, they're going to be on the road commuting. They're going to be at the gym listening to this stuff. That's what the audio is designed for. But if people are like, look, I want to sit down, maybe I want to do this with a couple of other dads and, you know, have the workbook out next to me and really go through these exercises, you know, at a, like a pretty thorough level, that's sort of what the video is designed for. And so if you buy the video, you get the audio for free, you know, thrown in as a part of it. So there's a bonus in that way, but the content for the most part is pretty similar.
That's fantastic. And guys, we're going to put it in the show notes, theprimalpath.co. And then also if you're in New York City, check out John's church, Church of the City, New York. And we'll put the link to his church also in the show notes. John, I can't thank you enough for being with us. This episode, there's so many nuggets that I can't wait to go back and listen to and pull out. You have so many good one-liners.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. Okay, so, great. Thanks so much. A joy to be on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you. And remember, until next week, the greatest red carpet that you will walk is through your front door. You are famous at home. We love you. Thank you for listening to the Famous at Home podcast. If anything we said today hit home with you or resonated in such a way you want to share it with others, go find us on Instagram at Famous at Home and comment, share, tell others about today's episode.
We'd also love if you would leave us a review. Reviews mean so much to us and they also help other people find out about the podcast. So if you could leave us a review, we would appreciate it.
You can also visit famousathome.com/podcast to submit a question or topic for a future episode.
And for coaching or speaking inquiries for your family or your organization, visit famousathome.com. We would love to serve you.
Because the greatest red carpet you'll ever walk is through your front door.